Yeah.
So, tell me when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. We'll call the meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ballinger.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Wise.
Present.
Edmonds.
Here. Okay, public participation. Tina, you're the first one to file one. She went up to the...
Tara.
Oh, Tara. I'm sorry, Tara. come up to the table. State your name and address, please.
Okay. I'm Tara Papras. My address is 1408 Woodland Drive, Mount Zion, Illinois. Hello, members of Clinton City Council and the public. My name is Tara Papras. Today, I'd like to talk to you about making a change to City Ordinance 5-1-9, keeping of bees and inconveniences to others. I have been a beekeeper for the last 5 years, and I sell honey here on the square at the farmer's market most Saturdays in the summer. I am also the president of the Sangamon Valley Beekeepers Association in Decatur, Illinois. I decided to come tonight for a few reasons, the first being my bee club does a beginner beekeeping class every winter, and we consistently get people from Clinton most years who are interested in keeping bees and then find out they're not allowed to in city limits. Second, I've had several people approach me at the farmer's market asking about keeping bees and wanting hives on their property. So the desire is definitely there for some of your residents in the town of Clinton. Third, I feel by not allowing beekeeping, you're potentially robbing high school students in the FFA the opportunity to fall in love with this amazing hobby and use it for their record books to compete with on a local, state, and national level. And lastly, you have the strictest city ordinance in the entire state. And I wonder if it isn't from fear and misinformation. Like most people, I used to be afraid of bees. Then I learned how honeybees are in crisis and how important they really are. Honeybees are responsible for 1 out of 3 foods eaten by Americans. They are responsible for pollinating 35% of the world's crops, and they pollinate 130 types of fruits and vegetables. Honeybees pollinate $15 billion worth of crops in the U.S. each year. The people of Clinton could benefit from this pollination. How many people in town have a backyard garden? A neighbor who keeps a beehive could help them produce a lot more food for their family, or maybe to sell at the farmer's market to help raise money for their family. Honeybees will also pollinate flowers all around town, making the town look even better. By allowing honeybees in town, you are allowing citizens the opportunity to have local honey that will help with their allergies. And beekeeping helps connect people back with nature. And watching bees come and go from a hive and working your flowers can be very relaxing and therapeutic. Allowing beekeeping in town creates an opportunity for learning for community members and especially children. There are big cities all over America that can allow beekeeping. If it can be done successfully there, then I feel it can be successfully done here. I have with me, if you're interested, 3 city ordinances from different towns through Illinois that have recently changed their ordinances to allow beekeeping, but there's so many more that I can provide for you if you would like. I hope you'll give me the opportunity to work with you to make a change in this ordinance. I think we can come to a real solution that everyone could be happy with. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been on the council a long time, and I don't think it's ever been brought up.
Yeah, thank you.
That's it. Very interesting. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Kendra.
Kendra?
Kendra. I live on East North Street, and I'm here to talk about the DG Market. So, just a couple of things, about 4 pages worth of things that I wanted to discuss as a timeline of what is going on, certain ordinances, safety, things like this. So we are still getting plastic and debris in our yards blown. I've got it all by date. I have put cameras in. I get notifications when something moves. So I'm just gonna run down these. So on the, let's see, the 27th of June, there was a father and son playing on the rolls of material over there. And to me, that is clear safety issue. It's not blocked off. And again, pictures and video of all of this. July 5th, we got quite a bit of rain. We completely flooded over the road. So it came from the ditch all the way over into our front yards and flooded my front yard. I was wondering about the retaining pond, because I think at that time it was put in. So I'm curious why we are still getting that kind of water. Let's see, July 12th, the truck headlights were used to drop equipment off from a worker's truck. They were working outside the building after sunset. On the July 18th, they pulled into a parking lot, added a bunch of garbage and rubble to the existing pile. Again, this was all done at night. August 2nd, they used a bobcat to remove months worth of overgrowth because they did not mow at all this summer. The weeds and the debris were taller than me. So they basically used that little cat machine with like a digger on the front and just took it right down to the dirt. So the bugs and everything have been terrible over there until all of that was gone. On August 7th, a truck in a trailer sat and had a conversation after dark for like 20 minutes facing the residents with their headlights on. So it was coming right into our windows. Also that day on August 7th, I went out to get the mail. I was catcalled when I was even just walking to the edge of the road, and I'm too old to be doing that. August 9th, they used a chipper grinder thing on the front of a little bobcat to break down the trees that they had cut down and were just laying there. The debris of that flew across the road, hit our houses, and left wood chips in all of our front yards. August 11th, the worker used headlights to place wires on the outside in the ground for the light poles. Again, I thought all this stuff was supposed to be done at sunset. They aren't supposed to be using headlights and things like that to work past dark. On August 14th, my camera picked up two young men and their dog walking through the work site, climbing on all the equipment, and trying to go inside of the building. August 23rd, at 10:08, I actually called the police department because there was a semi idling with the headlights on pointed to my house. The police came in and talked to them and then left. It was about 15 minutes that they had talked to them and stuff. Within 10 minutes of the police leaving, another semi showed up and idled all night long. And we were told that that was not going to happen at all. So I cannot open my windows to enjoy the nighttime breeze or anything because of the noise. So basically, in the same night, we have two semis idling with lights on. It's just disturbing. August 31st, boxes and plastic blew all over. One of the resident, was that me, went and actually spoke with an employee about the boxes and the plastic blowing around, and they said they are to pick that up every night at the end of the shifts. 3 days later, it's still there. September 2nd, we've had a lot of golf carts come and go. I didn't think they were supposed to be on the highways. That's a safety issue. I think they can cross them, but they can't drive on them. There's a lot of young kids in these golf carts with their parents, grandparents, whatever. Along that same line, I did see a young child, appeared to be about 10 years old, on one of those electric bikes, maybe like a little 50cc thing, go out onto the highway and use that to pull into Dollar General. He's 10 years old. That's just against safety. There's no other way There's no sidewalks over there or anything. People are walking on the highway. They're riding their bikes on the highway. They're using golf carts on the highway. And I just, you have ordinances and rules for a reason. And everybody needs to be held to that standard. So I have another concern too, is how is Dollar General open and passing inspections when there's no power grid running off the generator? So if the power is not connected, how are they passing inspections? How do they know that things are working properly to be open, is my question. So, and I looked up the noise ordinance in Clinton, and this is word for word what it says. It shall be unlawful for any person to make, continue to make, or pause, or fail to stop any excessive, unnecessary, or unusual noise, which a noise disturbs, injures, endangers the comfort, health, peace, or safety of others within the limits of the city of Clinton. And I did call and speak, and I was told that there's really not a noise ordinance or a light ordinance for businesses. And I think that this ordinance is so vague, it does not, you know, omit businesses in this. So to me, a noise ordinance is a noise ordinance. I've been disturbed by it, so I'd like to think that they're breaking the noise ordinance. Let's see. What else I have? I think with all of this, even, you know, this summer and the lack of taking care of the property the way that they said that they were going to take care of it, we went to all of these meetings and we were told that these things were not going to happen, and they're happening. I can honestly say that I don't believe that Dollar General is being neighborly, and I understand that this is a business. But this also, I think, is the first business in Clinton within 20 feet of residence without a barrier, and the parking lot is facing our homes, and those cars face our homes. Like, when they park, they're looking at our homes. So that's light, that's noise, they're off the highway, there's not infrastructure there. So again, all of these safety things need to be brought up, because somebody's going to get hurt walking, riding, golf carting on the highway when they're not supposed to be there. But I can tell you, something hit me tonight as I was leaving. My child looked at me and he told me, he's like, your words will fall upon deaf ears tonight. And I'm like, that just makes me sad, as a teenage boy tells me that as I go to come and talk to the city council. I feel that we have brought up every single concern, every concern that we could possibly think of as residents this close to a new build, to a new build. And it just saddens me that that's kind of his takeaway. But I do know that I am teaching him one thing, and that is to stand up for what he believes and speak his mind, even if nobody listens. So,
yeah. Thank you. No, you're the next one.
Tina Gregory. I also live on East North Street. I'm also here to talk about Dollar General. You know, when we were talking about this before it was all said and done and they started building, we knew they had already bought, so we knew it was kind of a done deal. I begged and begged and begged for a fence all the way around it, you know what I mean? Not, maybe not all the way around it since there's still field, but so that I didn't have to look at their garbage. And I knew it was going to happen. I work at Walmart. It happens, whether you like it or not, whether it's... I will tell you the city ordinances in Bloomington, in Normal, in Lincoln, and Decatur. I've worked at all four stores, and they are on it. Those cities do not let Walmart get away with garbage. You will see it when you're out there and you're shopping, but they are all over them about doing it. And we need to be diligent on them about doing the same thing. Now, I get it. When we get storms, they have the open tops because they were setting up. I get that. But it would have taken them literally 50 minutes with four people to pick up all the garbage. 2 hours before they opened, the day before they were supposed to open, I look out. When I got home from work, all the garbage was there. Less than an hour later, the garbage was picked up. They picked it up because they were going to go ahead and open. That shouldn't be the situation. If you go out there right now, there's not cardboard all over the place. There's garbage all over the place. Stuff that's still been sitting. They picked up the cardboard, but they didn't pick up the garbage. So literally my house sits in that building is right in front of my front window. And I have a picture. And what I asked for, too, was for them, if you're not going to give me a fence, at least fence in your racks so I don't have to look at it. And what do I see? Is racks. They just literally delivered a truck right as soon as I got home today, and he did not take any of the racks. So we're not taking the racks as we're delivering the racks. Okay? I mean, that's just, it's got to be something, because with being out in the open that they are, and I know they're not finished, you know, I mean, if they're not willing to go out and spend 20 minutes on their parking lot, go out and spend 20 minutes on just picking up their retention pond, or even along, you know, if we make garbage in the ditch, which is technically not ours, but we mow it. So to me, it feels like it's mine. If we make garbage or a family makes garbage, we're out there picking it up. You know what I mean? This is what they need to learn too. You know, they want me to be neighborly, fine, you're there. There's nothing I can do about it. But please be neighborly back so I don't have to look at your trash. And there's another thing too, the mowing. I don't know who mows that ditch down East North Street, if it's whoever is renting the, whoever plants the corn out there, whoever's renting that land from you guys, or if it's you guys, but the weeds are over 6 feet tall. I think it's only been mowed once this whole entire season. It needs to be mowed again. Dollar General needs to start doing their part too, because their retention pond, I will say, is working. Yeah, don't get me wrong, because I've watched it. I've watched it go, especially when we get heavy rains, and it's going somewhere because it's not staying. But now we're also getting bugs like we've never had before. So I don't know if that's because of the weeds or if that's the little bit of water that's actually sitting in their retention pond, but we need to be sprayed over there, if you would, please. Okay?
Actually, today I have talked to Taylor, our new city administrator, about some issues out there, and he's got to call in to Dollar General on some of these issues.
Thank you. Yeah, we've, I get that they were pushing to try to get this open. I've done, you know, a setup at a Walmart that was in Walmart back in 97. That tells you anything. That's a push. They push everybody to do what they can, and I get it. They were pushing the crew. The whole reason why they don't, something happened in the parking lot with the wiring, you know, for the power too. That's why they have a generator set up. I don't know if you guys know that. We did talk to Rick Nelson. If you guys know Rick Nelson that lives here in town, he works for Amron. Amron was actually there today. They're going to try to fix the problem, either that or run a pole, because it may be the parking lot. But they did do something when they poured the concrete onto that. So my son was one of the first ones he had went over there to go look. I said, I can't control my men from going, but I will not. he did say that there's no milk and stuff if you haven't been that, so I can see that, because I don't see the generator. That stuff pulls a lot of wattage, and that generator, you would have to have two or three of those for that. So I get it. I really wanted a fence so I wouldn't have to see them. Sure, we're not. It was not in the plan, so we're not going to get it. And I get that they're going to be shrubs, but can we ask them for big ones? Because it takes a long time for the bad boys to grow. So that's all I got, guys. You know, I will be neighborly, but they need to be neighborly soon to, you know, clean up. I mean, that is a business. People are going to come and go, and they're going to make messes. So they are a business, they need to clean up. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Several points to work on. So,
Ben wants to talk now.
Chief Flowers.
Yeah. As you get done with that, you want to go ahead and do the other two?
We can, or we can wait till.
Either way.
However you want to do it.
Either way.
Okay. Obviously, you know me, Chief Lowers. And tonight we have a new officer that I've been anxious to introduce to you, and I don't want to, I guess, to intermingle this. Tonight is about her. But I wanted to speak to you, if I could, for a moment about an incident. We hear too much negative in our society today, too many focus on what is wrong, and not enough attention on what is right. Social media has created a platform where public criticism without accountability is rampant. The lack of taking responsibility for one's actions, one's own actions, and the almost encouragement to challenge authority are going to be the demise of our society. I don't often do this, but I feel it necessary to take a moment to brag on the men and women that comprise our department and all disciplines of our local emergency service systems, law enforcement, fire, and EMS. I don't want to take away or downplay any credit afforded to those other agencies that played such key roles. The DeWitt County Sheriff's Office, Illinois State Police, Illinois Conservation Police, the Macon County Sheriff's Office, the unseen and unsung heroes of our CENTCOM Dispatch Center, and anyone else who responded to the horrific incident on the afternoon of Sunday, September 3rd in Kenny, Illinois. These are the individuals and the professionals that run towards the unthinkable that everyone else is running away from in an effort to provide that curtain of safety between good and evil. At 3:23 p.m. on Sunday afternoon, our dispatch center received a frantic call of an active shooter at a rural Kenny residence, which we now know was a domestic in nature. At least two victims, one injured and one dead, with multiple additional victims locked down, hiding from the shooter, and the shooter heavily armed and at large, his whereabouts unknown at the time. No one wakes up in the morning hoping to respond to such a horrific event. No one wishes to place themselves in such a dangerous encounter. But these individuals suit up and answer the call. They train for this, hoping to never use it and praying to never need it. But they prepare and they step up without hesitation. The initial responding DeWitt County deputies, led by veteran deputy and longtime colleague of mine, Nick Massey, at the helm. Their request for assistance went without saying, and officers from multiple agencies rushed to their aid. Among them were our two on-duty officers from the Clinton Police Department, Ryan Kemp and Joe Krasny. I received a phone call directly from Officer Kemp, and they immediately responded to Massey's aid in Kenny. I immediately began preparing for my own response and sent out a group message to all members of the department for emergency assistance. The words that come to mind are dedication and, quite frankly, impressive. Within a matter of just a couple minutes, I had heard from each and every member of our department individually. In very little time, there was two, then four, then six at our post, equipping themselves and ready for assignment. Nine of our 12 current officers were either deployed to the scene in Kenny or on mobile standby, equipped and ready to respond from Clinton. The remaining three were ready and willing, but advised to stand down and remain available should more manpower be needed at a later time. Disaster doesn't come in a can which is able to be dispensed at your leisure. Time, information, communication, and coordination are never as swift and as smooth as you'd like them to be in these unfolding situations. But everyone adapts and overcomes, as a team, as a family. Family defined by those thin lines of blue, red, yellow, and white. As the incident progressively played out, there became many much closer to the front line than us. Our primary role was support, whatever and wherever needed, and our people did so selflessly on perimeter, traffic control, support to the sheriff and his staff, and the command post. Clinton Police Officer Joe Krasny, as one of the very first responding units, intercepted the fleeing victim's vehicle, applying a tourniquet to the bleeding gunshot victim, a potential life-saving measure, and remained with him to gather information until the arrival of EMS. Meanwhile, our additional troops deployed in two-man cars, protecting the city of Clinton, on the lookout for the armed suspect and prepared to assist with matters throughout the county while the sheriff's resources were focused on the priority in Kent. We know that any one of them and all of them have done and would do the same for us in our time of need. We're small, but in times like this, we realize that our team is substantially larger than just the numbers that comprise our department. As a hometown product, this makes me extremely proud. The Kenny Fire Department opened their doors and welcomed the incident command post. Those guys are rock stars. Fire supported Kenny Fire and on down the line. This went on for nearly 30 hours at various degrees until 9 p.m. last night, when a similar emergency response was activated, the discovery of the suspect vehicle and then the suspect near the DeWitt-Macon County lot. Not here for a pat on the back. Those pats and that gratitude should be directed to the individuals on the very front lines who have chosen this path, who suit up every day not knowing what their shift may entail, but willing to accept whatever challenge the world sends their way. They bear emotions, they fear, they bleed, they hurt, and they still get up and suit up again tomorrow to await the next unforeseen tragedy. They're not alone. Their families and their support systems deserve recognition as well. The climate of our profession is the most challenging I've seen it in my nearly three decades. Recruiting and retention at an all-time low. Who signs up for this? These are special individuals, and it's my duty to tell you, our governing council, how proud I am of this team and this community of emergency responders. Yes, our people write tickets to violators. They investigate and mitigate citizen complaints, and they catch hell nearly daily from the public for why aren't you doing this, or why did you do that, for just doing their job. They're often misunderstood because of a lack of understanding of necessary policy and procedure, lack of understanding of the law and the flawed system in which they work under daily. But trust me, in that time of need, like we were all so unfortunate to witness Sunday afternoon, you want every one of these people on your team. One of the disadvantages of a small community is that we often know each other too well. And that brings an additional element of emotion when encountering those who you may. Heart aches for all the victims of this horrific tragedy, those affected directly and those indirectly. Be proud of County. What you may not see that I'm fortunate to have a front row seat to is the professionalism, the heart, the emotion, and the empathy that makes up these individuals. Some will say, but it's their job. It's more than that. It's a choice they've made to serve and a way of life. I thank you for your time, and I thank God for allowing me to be surrounded by such awesome, selfless beings, human beings, every day that I come to work to serve this community. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Okay, do you want to do that? Okay, do the minutes first, okay.
Motion that the minutes of the regular meeting of August 15th, 2023 be approved as submitted.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Weiss?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes. Motion carried. Now, okay. You read the list of the bills. Please.
General Administration, $26,275.11. Economic Development, $732.25. Police, $17,968.52. Fire, $9,485.52. Street, $13,318.26. Park, $6,164.99. Public Health and Safety, $4,787.95. Emergency Services, $125,644.82. Excuse me. Liability Insurance, $50. Garbage, $31.07. Cemetery, $10,151.05. Water Operations, $72,135.10. Sewer Operations, $4,007.23. Water Deposits, $155.31. Clinton Sanitary District, $45,272.15. Drug Enforcement, $140. Special Tax Allocation, TIF 1, $790. Waterman Extension Project Fund, $26,977.74. Warner Hospital and Health Services Operating Account, $524,189.54. Hospital Funded Depreciation, $355,660.
Is there a motion to approve the bills and payroll?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Wise?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes. A report from the Department of Public Affairs. Don't have anything to report there. Report from the Department of Streets and Public Improvements.
Well, I've got, as you probably all noticed, that Bryson Street project has finally started. Quick and easy. And then also, they're also going to be moving over into the two lots. They're on Washington Street. So hopefully get that done fairly quick. And that's all I got.
Okay, report from the Department of Public Property.
Hi. Have a whole lot. Danny likes to keep me short and sweet. So, we have been working on things that just the plant's 20 some years old. We've had things that have been breaking. We've had things that we tried to get the parts for, and it's just kind of tough on some of the older stuff. But we have got everything back up and running. The lime silo, we've got Kyle sitting out here. He knows how, and I know how hard they've been working and keeping everything going. And rebuilding pumps, and we got a motor that had to be redone. Now we've got pumps that Thursday we got. And get that done. Hopefully, that can take it. Get that. We won't be worrying about that anymore. That's been too being fed. The water is coming back to where it should have been, but it wasn't running. If the iron comes up. All of the issues we had in the past, but they are doing much better. And I appreciate each and every one of the guys that worked down there of staying and getting things going. They work diligently, and it's just like everybody else. They jump in when it's needed. When it has to be done, they stick around, they get the work done, and they take care of it. And I greatly appreciate that. I don't want anybody ever think that I don't. As far as the other things, we are working on just getting everything in line, so whenever we can, that new equipment, all the stuff's going to be right there when that engineering and everything's done. I know we've got people who don't like engineers, they don't like having to wait, but that's just a necessary evil. But that's already in place, that will be getting done. We will be going through it and getting it taken care of. But just like in that, when we get behind the eight ball, the building cycles for just like concrete, you got this job on Woodson Street. You had to go in process, get everything done. Probably will not get that done this fall. I can't even tell you. It just it didn't get the engineering done. Things didn't fall into place, but it is coming. It will be done, and we will, as soon as we possibly can, get that done. Kenny and everybody that's been working on that, Steve, all the people, Farnsworth and Wiley, they're getting it done, and it will be progressing, but with just probably not this season. There's only so much time that they get done. You've got so many people who are out there working. I got two boys that do concrete every day. They have projects busy in Bloomington. You can only get so many.
Well, we had a big issue with the engineering getting done, so that pushed us way back.
And then you have to have a contracting company that can do it. When they're already busy, they're already doing it. So if people get a little antsy, it's not because we're not wanting to. It's just we have to follow the guidelines, and we have to do it in that order. But it's not that we're trying to do it. A lot of things brought up this evening. I was really impressed with everybody, the little beekeeper. It's something we need to look at. You know, the things that we have on books that have been there a long time, as a group, we know that we're gonna be looking, trying to change some things. Your input will be very much appreciated. Hope everything, if we've got the paperwork, got everything that says your name and everything, but we need to know this. Please come back, talk to us when we get ready to move forward. I'd really like that. Homeowners, there's nothing perfect. There never has been. I don't know of only one person who's ever perfect. I'm certainly not. So I do my best. I try my best. Can't be on top of everything, but just like with this company, we need to talk to them. They're getting going. They're getting started. It's not anything out of the realm of here. Danny takes care of health and safety. All of your concerns, I personally, you know, we will be looking into it. We'll try to do our best to make sure they keep it up and follow through. If they've promised and told you to do things, we need to take and push that. We have the people that can do that. We have a new city employee that is going to be out there. Taylor is fitting in really well. He's been doing a very good job of trying to learn what's going on in the city of Clinton. I think he's going to do a very good job, but he's new. He's not going to be able to just jump in and do everything. So if your body thinks that, I don't think it, because that guy's going to have to learn. There's guys that have been on the city for 35, 40 years that they had to learn in progression. He's new. He's going to have to learn who the citizens and who to talk to, who to get things done, how to get it done. Please give him that courtesy. If you let him know what your concerns are, give him the heads up. Give him a chance to try to work on it. Don't just think that he's going to snap his fingers and a magical wand is going to come out. It is not going to happen. None of us up here have that idea. But please give him a chance. Come up and explain it to him. Come and talk to any one of us. We will do our best. The chief's sitting right there. If there are concerns and people doing things that aren't legitimate and right, give us a chance to take and correct that. We'll be like everybody else. Until we can see it, we can get it taken care of, we can get a handle on it, we're going to have to work on it. We'll do our best. I have never stepped away from any project or any problem. I'm very easy to get a hold of. You bring it up to me. If it's something I can do and I can help, you bet your butt I will. Anybody that knows me know I'll try my very best. But give us the opportunity. Come in. You're doing it tonight. That's great. I appreciate that. And now we can start looking at it and trying to get them online to take care of it. But all behind the curve, we all have to know what's going on. We all have to have that opportunity to go talk to them. I hope we can give them that same good neighbor policy and get them to get on board and take care of it too. We'll try our very best. I know we'll be working at it, and we'll do our best to try to get those concerns taken care of. I was going to be short, but I didn't quite get there. anyway, that's where we're at. And I do want to thank all the first responders, all the people that have had it. And I feel so bad for the families. They lost both ways. They lost someone that was a father figure. They lost grandfather. And the one that's over there with the injuries. You've got to feel sorry for the entire town of Kenny, because they're a close-knit group. We got a lot of uncles and cousins and stuff over there. Kenny is a unique little town. I think everybody is partially related, and they really take it hard. And I really feel bad, and I'm praying and hoping that they can take and find relief. And the people who go to specialists and find people to help them go through this, because that's a traumatic experience. And every police officer who's involved, I guarantee you, be able to take and give them the support they need so they can take and do whatever they can help them. I just hope everyone can come out of it and find a silver lining somehow, and how that transpired, and find some way to make it work for them that they can take and find relief and find some type of relief from that. Anyway, I'm done now. Sorry. Thank you.
He's done.
Hurry
up.
Yeah, report from the Department of Public Health and Safety.
I'm going to Taylor first.
I want to tag on him first, and okay, then we'll do that. The Dollar General people, you brought up the tall weeds and stuff. I had that skid steer do that. I saw that too, and I agreed with you 100%. I had them go knock them over. It was a temporary fix. Now that they're in operation, there's no excuse they can't keep the grounds clean. With the help of Taylor, and I'm sure he'll keep an eye on it, we'll hold them accountable for the garbage and stuff. And it's still not too late to possibly get a fence there. We can talk to him about that. If that's a solution, maybe we could, Taylor, can we work on maybe talking to him and seeing if that's an option still?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's a question that can be asked. It don't cost to ask.
Yep.
And if that would help keep the headlights out and all that, that's the direction we need to go. Okay. So and the garbage, yeah, that's our garbage. They need to keep it picked up. So we'll work on that. Okay. Ben, would you like to?
Can we do Taylor first?
Yeah.
Taylor's appointment.
Hey, Ben, would you sit down for a minute? We're not ready for you.
What's that?
Would you sit down? Go ahead.
Motion to appoint Taylor Baxter as public health officer for a period of 8 months.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Job. I always ask that if people get on board. Still okay? You still want the job after all this stuff being done? Yes. All right.
Call the roll before he can change his mind.
Yeah. Ballinger.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Wise.
Most definitely yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Welcome, Taylor, again. We'll think of another job next time.
Okay, Ben, you can have the floor.
Okay. Did you have a report?
Gracie and the Edwards family know that in 2.5 years, I haven't been to a meeting that lasted longer than 20 minutes. And the night that we introduced Gracie, here we are. So it's my pleasure to introduce, a little delayed because of some circumstances of a vacation and that I was gone, but Officer Gracie Edwards began her career with the Clinton Police Department on July 24th and has since been in the field training program under the direction or supervision of field training officers Ryan Kemp and Jake Jostis. Gracie hails from Hudson, Illinois, a graduate of Normal West High School, and holds a bachelor's degree in criminology and criminal justice from Southern Illinois University. She's a 2021 graduate of the University of Illinois Police Training Institute, Champaign. And Officer Edwards previously served with the Bradley University Police Department and Danvers, Illinois Police Department, where she served as a patrol officer, firearms instructor, and oversaw multiple administrative aspects of the Danvers PD under the direction of Chief Hoot. Gracie is a firearms instructor and certified juvenile officer with future visions of becoming a canine officer and or an investigator. Gracie's outgoing personality and genuine care to serve the community have already been evident, and we look forward to her valuable contributions to the department and the community. Gracie is joined tonight by her fiance, Jake, and her parents, Paul and Tina Edwards, and her aunt, Paula. So Gracie is going to take her official oath, and we'll do it for that.
We're going to do this again.
All right.
After me. I, Gracie A.J. Edwards.
I, Gracie A.J. Edwards.
Having been appointed. To the Office of Police Patrolman.
To the Office of Police Patrolman.
In the City of Clinton, Illinois.
In the City of Clinton, Illinois.
In the County of DeWitt.
In the County of DeWitt.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
The
duties of the Office of Police Patrolman. That's my
ability.
Thank you.
Thank all of you for coming and supporting.
We'll take care of her too, okay? All right. I'm done.
You sure? Okay, I don't have a report from the Department of Finance, so we go on to unfinished business.
Okay.
We have some.
Yeah. Motion to approve the following applications for exemption to the peddlers, itinerant merchants, and solicitors ordinance for the Apple and Pork Festival: Clinton Antique Mall, Clinton Area Farmers and Artisans Market, Clinton Presbyterian Church, Country Junction, DeWitt County Museum, and Vespasian Warner Public Library District.
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion?
This is the same one we do every year, right?
Every year, yep. Please call the roll.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Wise.
Yes.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Motion's carried. Now, would you read the list of the new business coming up next time?
Okay, we're putting on file Project Services Agreement, Park Lane West Subdivision, Farnsworth Group, $112,800. On file is 2023 fire prevention material for the fire department, Alert All, $3,588, and Positive Promotions, $2,796.14 for a total amount of $6,384.14. On file was the bid for the purchase of 523 North Maple Street for $5,500. Ordinance pertaining to motion picture ticket tax and redevelopment and economic incentive agreement between the City of Clinton and Eagle Theater Corporation.
Tom, can we go ahead and act on the fire prevention material?
Sure.
I don't have a motion.
Or you just get the consensus so we can go ahead and get the material.
Sure. It's something we do every year. It's in the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys good with that? Okay.
So and then we'll approve it next time.
Okay.
Okay. Now.
And now we're going to.
Now we have a closed session, and there will be no action after the closed session.
Okay, motion to hold a closed session for approval of closed session minutes and employment of employee.
I'll make that motion.
Motion made and seconded.
Weiss?
Yes.
Ballinger?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes. Motion's carried. Closed session.
Okay.
Speech I've ever heard.
Yeah, it was. It was very well written.
Which cousin?
Wow.
To adjourn regular meeting.
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded. Okay, now you can call it.
Weiss.
Yes.
Ballinger.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes. Meeting adjourned.